That word freedom, I'm trying to get there. Every day I keep working at it, working at it. We're going to spend, I think it's the next 6 weeks, on a series on worship. And there's a lot of different aspects to worship. I think a lot of us think of worship and we think music. That's a small part of worship. Worship encompasses everything that we do, everything that we're about. I'm gonna eventually get to gifts and talents. How is that going to connect to worship? I'll get you there. But I want to ask you this question. Have you ever been given a gift? Have you ever been given something that made you so excited it caused you to act differently? I remember when I was in high school and I got my driver's license, my parents gave me a car. I was good to them for a couple hours. They could have asked me to do anything for those few hours, and man, all Dad had to say was, if you don't, you lose your car. Okay, I'll do it. Right? I was reading something on Facebook the other day. How many of you guys have heard of the video game Fortnite? Okay, so this older folk, if you don't know it, it's a video game that like every kid in the world is playing. They play online. It's a free game, which is the crazy part, but it's literally taken over kids' lives, unfortunately. You guys hear that ringing? Anyway, we can turn that down. It's a little bit crazy. We actually went on vacation with some friends a couple weeks ago, and the kids like brought the video game with them so they could play at night when we were on vacation. And I just kind of went, okay, I guess they're into it. It's summertime, whatever. It's not my place to judge, even though I did judge. And so they're so into this Fortnite, but I was reading this game, like some mom posted something about, what do I do about my kids? All they want to do is play Fortnite. And one mom, and it started this whole chain, this one mom said, do you realize the things that my kid is accomplishing in my house? They will do anything as long as I'm willing to allow them to play Fortnite. We've got the windows cleaned, the carpets have been vacuumed, the bed has been made, the toys have been put away. Man, my kid is doing all of my work for me just so they can play Fortnite. And I think sometimes is the gift that God has given us, does it cause us to do whatever it takes for him because of the gift we received? When we talk about worship, you and I are supposed to worship God with everything that we've got. All of you have been given a gift. The reality is all of you have been given many gifts. Right, we talk about spiritual gifts, but there's all kinds of things that we'll get into today. But I want you to think about what gifts you have. If you have a pen or paper, I want you to think about what are your gifts and talents. Because I don't believe that I am the reason why I have gifts and talents. I don't believe my parents are the reason why I have gifts and talents. My gifts and my talents come from God. And therefore, I should be using those gifts and those talents as a form of worship. That's what all of us should be doing. And some of you go, well, I don't know, have any gifts and talents. You all have them. Well, but you know, like Pastor Craig, he'll get up here and he'll prophesy for like 6 hours to everybody, and I don't have that gift. That's fine. That's his gift. You have yours. We've got to figure out what yours is. But I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. I want to give you a couple ideas about worship, and then we're going to get into some of the ideas about gifts and talents. Worship is to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. That's the Webster Dictionary's version. Worship is to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. True worship, in other words, is defined by the priority we place on who God is in our lives and where God is on our list of priorities. I'm not here to make you feel guilty today. But some of us like, oh yeah, priority, God, where does he... Man, is he on the top, or is he number two? Is he number three? Something like number 10. It's okay. We've all been there. So I'm looking like, you're looking at me. No, I'm not. I'm looking at myself. True worship is a matter of the heart expressed through a lifestyle of holiness. Thus, if your lifestyle does not express the beauty of holiness through an extravagant or an extravagant love for God, you do not live in the extreme or excessive submission to God. Then I invite you to make worship a non-negotiable priority in your life. Years ago, we had a principal, new principal that came. I had one principal for 20 years. And so when the new guy came, the poor guy probably didn't stand a chance. But he came and started doing things different. And he had like a list of 15 non-negotiables. We're like, man, that's a lot of non-negotiables. But I always think of that word, like the one non-negotiable for me is I'm going to live my life 100% for God. And I know I'm going to mess up. I know I'm going to make mistakes, but I'm going to continue to press. I'm going to continue to fight. I'm going to continue to go. What the enemy wants you to do is when you mess up or you don't fall through, you don't make, to stop. Oh, I'm not good enough. I can't do this anymore. We all go through tough seasons and difficult circumstances. And I always come back to the verse about, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I always focus on that word walk. Because it means I got to keep moving. So we talk about a non-negotiable priority. Do you have a non-negotiable priority to worship God? What does that mean to worship God? I will say to serve God. I believe if you want to worship God, you need to serve God. I went to Starbucks this morning. I drove by. Don't tell Candace Lawrence. She gets mad at me because we have the coffee shop. Oh, sorry. She's in the back. Too late. And she yells at me, you're supposed to get our coffee, not Starbucks. But I drove through and I was talking to the lady. She goes, where are you going this morning? Oh, I'm going to church. Where you go? I'm actually gonna preach today, just down the street. She goes, oh, you mean the church that hands out all the food to people? Do you know the reputation that we have just for doing that? Because we have people that have the heart to want to serve. And it impacts the community. I mean, we are known in this area. I got a buddy that I went to college with, he drives by, he goes, oh, that's the church that hands out food on Fridays. That's pretty cool. That's a gift. That's a way of serving the Lord. They take the skill sets that they have, and they, by worshiping the Lord, they're serving the Lord. I found this definition. I couldn't find the guy's name, but I liked it anyway. It says, biblical worship is a full life response, head, heart, and hands to who God is and what he has done. And he says he got that definition from Matthew 22:37, which says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is a form of worship. Worship isn't about, so I think sometimes we can worship the music and the songs and we forget to worship God while we're doing it. Oh, they're playing my favorite song today. But what are we doing when we're singing and when we worship? And just so you know, Christy will be back. She'll be preaching next week, so that'll be cool to have someone that's from the music side of things. I am not the music side of things, although I like to sing. So I sing real loud. It probably throws Nick off, like, would you turn him down? I can't. But from a biblical perspective, when we worship, this is what I want you to catch this real quick. When we worship, we ascribe worth to something. You may worship other things and you may not realize it. These kids these days, they worship these video games. They wouldn't consciously say, I worship video games. But if you look at the time and what they're doing and how you're spending it, that you would say, man, they are spending time with that more than they are with the Lord. We ascribe worth to something when we worship something. We worship many things that are not God. We can worship money, status, sports, but biblical worship turns the affection to God. So what is our response to this? What do we do with worship? Well, we need to serve. Right? When someone gives you something special, what do you do with it? What have you done with it? I would submit to you that God has given you more than anybody or anyone is going to ever give to you. Yet a lot of times we come and we sit and we hang out in here and we go out there and we don't take what we've learned in here. Worship should bring us to action, should bring us to serve. You must serve him to worship him. Luke 4:8 says, Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Well, I'll serve him, but that only piece, serve him only. I know for certainly for me, a period of life, I without consciously thinking, I served sports. I like them. I was into them. That's what I did for, you know, I played in college and I coached for years. That was a worship of mine. There's nothing wrong with sports. But when that becomes more important than your relationship with God, that's when it becomes a problem, right? Anything that is above God is an idol or a form of worship that isn't in the correct order, right? Sports are fun. Like that. I watch them all the time. But when I'm not spending time with the Lord, I start going, man, what am I spending? Am I worshiping more other things? I need to have my focus on God. It's tough sometimes. Life gets tricky sometimes. We have to develop those disciplines and those habits. If you look at the New Testament actually puts more of an emphasis on serving than sacrifice. The Old Testament tends to spend a lot of time talking about sacrifice. The New Testament tends to talk a little bit more about serving. When we worship, we ascribe worth to something. So by serving him, we are worshiping him. So how does that relate to all of us? In November, we have Aaron Cadero that's coming to do a conference. And they're talking about doing church as a team, as a healthy team. For me, I've been a part of teams my whole life. Like I look at all of you guys, and this is honestly how I look at it. I look at all of you guys and I think, how can I get all of you guys all on the same team and how can we all work together to do the best thing for what God wants us to do here at New Life? I met with a guy yesterday. I went and had coffee with him and he serves here in a ministry. And not that the ministry he is in isn't great, because it is, but I see skill sets in him that actually might fit other ministries. And so I asked him, where are your strengths? Where do you see yourself? What are you doing? And sometimes we don't see those in ourselves, but I want you to try to see what your gifts and talents are, because I look at it this way. If I use this sport analogy, or even if I'm in business analogy, if I was in the business world or the academic world, or you know, if I'm at, over at Life, and all that Dr. Adams, all that he hires is all presidents to come work for him, he's going to have no quality people there to run. I mean, if he doesn't have Todd Eskes at his place, what good is that place going to be? You need someone that can run the finances, right? He's strategic in who he hires because everybody has different skill sets. Look, I cannot go teach math. If I taught math, all of those kids that learned under me would be terrible at math. They would fail, and then they could blame me, and I would say, yep, you can blame me because I'm not very good at math. My way around math is I have one of my best friends. He's a math teacher, so if I ever have a math question, I just ask him. Right? If I can't do it on a calculator, I call my buddy Scott. When I think of all of us, again, I'm talking about all of you guys. All of you guys that call this place home. More importantly, all of us that call this place a place of worship. That call yourself a believer, a Christian. How can we use your skill sets to further the kingdom? Some of you go, I don't know what mine are. I bet you do. I bet you know what some things that you're good at. If you came up to me and said, I'm good at this, I promise you I'll find a place for you. The problem is, a lot of us don't want to commit to serve. It's the same people over and over again wanting to serve. We need more of you guys. If we want to impact this community in the kingdom of God, we need people to serve. Right? When Encounter's not in, I know Food Bank needs more people to help serve. You see the line out the door and around the corner. So So we should use our gifts and our talents. That's how we should serve. Here's the other piece to it. Others' lives may change because of our talents. Here's a quote from a guy. It says, "You have not lived today until you've done something for someone who can never repay you." You have not lived today until you've done something for someone who cannot repay you. You know why? Because you do that with the right heart and the right mind. If I do something for my wife, I'm not expecting something in return, and maybe she can't repay me. We talk about gifts and talents. How many of you guys have heard of Strength Finders? If you haven't done it, I would suggest do it. It lays out what your strengths are. And I'll read this. It talks about the Gallup has conducted some research. And it says, people who use their strengths every day, this is how it affects their performance and quality of life. They found out that people who use their strengths and talents, something that comes naturally and can be enhanced through practice every day, are 6 times more likely to be engaged on the job. So in other words, you should do something that fits within your strengths. Your strengths and your talents are given to you from God. You should use those things not only in the business world, but also in the church world. You should serve in your local church because the Lord has given you strengths and talents and gifts, and you need to use those because you've been given to them. You've been given a gift, and now you can go bless others because of it. The key points they found in the research are as follows. Improved health and wellness. They've experienced less worry, stress, anger, sadness, or physical pain. Again, if you know your strengths and your talents and you function in those on a daily basis, this is what they're saying the research shows you. It boosts their positive emotions. They have more energy to face the day. Higher engagement level on the task. For me, my top five are context, aviator, communication, woo, and maximizer. And I won't get into all of what those are. But context for me, it should be obvious to you. If I'm a history teacher, I got to have the context around these things to make sense for me. So if I have discussion with Heather about stuff and she starts saying something like, I got to have the whole, she's probably like, why does he ask so many questions? Like, I have to have the whole context of it or I don't understand that. So I know that's something. But the second one for me is I'm an activator. I like to get people involved. So I met with this guy the other day. I met with someone else. I called someone like, hey, let's go hang out. I want to get you involved. I want people to function and to be used in their strengths because I know that they're going to impact people for the kingdom of God because we got to put you in the places where you're able to use those gifts and those talents. You all have them. You've all been given them. It's your job to try to figure out what those are. Your talent is God's gift to you. What do you do with the gift? So what are my gifts and talents? God created everyone with unique abilities. Look, all of you are different. Well, this person's better than me at this. Well, maybe. Doesn't mean you can't be used. All of you are to be used. All of you are to serve God. You've been given unique abilities and talents to help serve brothers and sisters in Christ. Ultimately, that's what we're doing, right? We're helping each other out. This is why I love team. This is why I love sports, because we all have to come together to make it work. If we don't come together, it doesn't work. Have you ever seen teams, been a part of teams, even in the business world, in the sports, wherever it may be, right, and they don't get along, what good is that team? It's not very good. You have to have the right perspective, and if we all have the right perspective and vision and mission of where we're going, we need to serve the Lord. What a cool thing. He's given you and me gifts and talents. So how do we use those? Well, what are some of those? Sometimes when we're not even aware of the talents we're given by God until we run into different struggles in life. Sometimes we learn through different struggles. I know when I was getting my master's degree, probably the biggest thing for me what I learned from that is that, and you don't have to agree with this, that I'm okay with this, is that the constant feedback I got was that people enjoyed listening to me speak. And I promise you, this is what, 7, 8 years ago? I had zero clue. No idea. And so I made a promise to God, and here I am standing in front of you today. I made a promise to the Lord and said, all right, if anybody asks me to speak, I'll do it. Because it's a gift that the Lord has given me, what people have said. That level of, I still remember, we're getting ready to go on vacation, and I'm done with my last class, and I'm walking out to get in the car, we're getting ready to go, and some girl comes running out, and she goes, I just got to make sure you know that when you speak, it's captivating, and people want to listen. And I think you heard that, or like, what did she say? And I was like, I don't understand. Like, it to this day, sometimes it's, I try to believe that. It's hard for me to understand that. But that's what's encouraged me to do what I'm doing even right here, right now. Because somebody encouraged me. Somebody encouraged me. Some of you in here are great encouragers. That's a gift that you have. Richard, you encourage me on a daily basis. Every time you see something positive to me, it lifts me up. It encourages me. That's a gift from God. Use that and continue to use that. That helps. That edifies the body. It builds us up. Give God thanks for all that he's given you. Your talent can be a special personality. It could be your ability to give kind words. You could have a musical ability. Just determination in life could be a talent that you have. Giving could be a talent and a gift that you have. Preaching, wisdom, compassion. I love sitting with people that have wisdom. It's so great to sit with people that have wisdom. I was on the council years ago here, and I was sitting in well, I'll just call him Jimbo because I like that name better. But Jimbo is one of the wisest men that I've come across that I know. Right? We would sit in these council meetings and they'd ask these questions. I'm like, I don't have a clue. And then he would say something like, whoa, that's good. I'm going to learn from this guy. I'm going to suck him dry. I'm going to be a sponge. He's going to have nothing left after me. But guys with wisdom are fun to sit around and be around because you learn so much from them. It's like people that are compassionate. I've told you about just the struggles with Taylor and health and things. I am so much more compassionate than I used to be. I'll be honest, I used to be that guy like, dude, just suck it up and get through it. That's how I was raised. You just go deal with it. And sometimes there's a place for that. But because of some of these struggles, the compassion I have when someone brings something to me, I'm compassionate toward it. So I've learned through the struggles to become compassionate. I would say now that is a gift of mine. I'm compassionate to what people are going through. So kind words, music ability, determination, giving, preaching, wisdom, compassion. Maybe you've got teaching skills. I talked to a guy today. I said, hey, you and I are meeting next week. Why? Because you're going to help me teach discipleship. Really? Yeah, because you've got a gift to teach. I want to use your gifts to do that. You think I could do that? No, I know you can. Okay, cool. Some of you got charisma. Some of you've got great communication skills. So we take all of these gifts and all these talents and we bring them together. It's amazing what this will look like. Look, if I put a soccer team together and I put 11 people on the field that were all forwards, we wouldn't be very good. Even worse, I put 11 people on the field that were all goalies, we'd be terrible. Right? All of you are fit different positions. We We are all part of the body of Christ. Is God's gift collecting dust? I say, use it or lose it. He gave it to you for a reason. I know for me in my coaching years, one of the things that bummed me out the most was to find a kid who was super talented, who had zero work ethic. Ugh, it just killed me. I had a kid that she had transferred to us from the University of Oregon. Clearly our most talented player, physically, athletically, she was gifted. And I specifically remember one game, it was hot, she wasn't working very hard. And if you take someone out in the first half, they can't go back in the first half in a college game. And so I take her out and I say, what's going on? Everything okay? She goes, I don't feel like playing today. You don't really want to know what I was thinking inside my mind. I just learned to bite my tongue and then keep moving and let her sit on the bench for the rest of the game. And then I went down and talked to her and we had a conversation and she went back in. But my first thought was, are you kidding me? Do you know how much gifts and talents you have and you want to sit on the sideline because you don't feel like it? Do you hear what I'm saying? You have gifts and you have talents and some of you are sitting on the sideline because you don't feel like it. Your gift is collecting dust. Your talent is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God. So let's serve him. All right, well, what does the Bible say about it? Oh, gee, it's about time you got to the Bible. Right, so go ahead and open up to Corinthians 12, verse 7. First. I hope. So it should say a spiritual gift. Yeah. So 1 Corinthians 12:7 through 11. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. Hang out with Jimbo. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether the message is from God, from the Spirit of God, or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. And this is one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So while those are some spiritual gifts, but just gifts in general, talents and gifts, those are given to us from the Lord. Then Romans 12, 6 through 8. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. See, I think sometimes we think the gifts all happen are only the people up here. If you've ever run an organization or been in charge of something, you know it's all of the people that are under you that are really the most important people. Because without them, you don't get to do what you do, or your organization doesn't do what it gets to do. When we talk about organizations, we're only as good as the followers. If you're the leader, you're only as good as your followers. God needs us, his followers, to take our gifts and our talents and to serve and to use them for each other, for his purposes. 1 Peter 4. Verse 10. Each of you has received a gift to use to serve others. How many of you guys? All of you guys. Each and every one of you. It doesn't say some. It doesn't say most. It says each. Each of you has received a gift to use to serve others. Be good servants of God's various gifts of grace. And anyone who speaks should speak words from God. Anyone who serves should serve with the strength God gives, so that in everything God will be praised through Jesus Christ. Power and glory belong to him forever and ever. Amen. Exodus 35:10 says, "Let every skillful craftsman among you come and make all the Lord has commanded." Leah and I told you last week that we were on vacation up in Northern California. And we came across a guy. My wife, God bless her, she loves to take pictures everywhere we go. Needless to say, it's not my favorite thing to do. But I was a good sport 90% of the time. Can you give me that? 90, maybe 80? Okay. At some point, I had to like, okay, enough's enough, right? And I'll take pictures. She said, but there's no people in them. I'm like, but it's so beautiful. I don't want to ruin it by putting myself in the picture. But we were like, Lord, give us a divine intervention today, a divine connection somehow. We're just cruising around. We walk out to this point, and you can see like Pebble Beach off in the corner. And again, I'm ready to do like a selfie, and wife goes, can you take a picture for us? I'm like, oh, my God. I didn't do that outwardly, but inwardly I do. That's, she knows. That's my, pictures. And so this guy comes over, sure, and he's the nicest guy in the world, takes pictures, start talking, and next thing you know, he mentions he has a nonprofit, and I said, what do you do? He goes, oh, I have a ministry thing that I do. It's Hands of the Community. It's up in Northern California, and it stretches all over, and I'm going to look into it because I think it's such a cool idea. I said, well, what do you do? And he said, well, actually, I feel like the church is stuck inside their four walls, and so we try to do something for the community. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I have an organization that's set up through churches that if somebody at your church has a need, they can call us and we'll send someone out to help them. Like what? I like, yes, well, cut, like, do yard work? Sure, yard work. He goes, there's a story of a lady, she was in her 80s, and she called us and said, all the electricity is off in my house, I have no more lights. It doesn't work, I don't know how to fix it. So they in the organization, they found this guy that is an electrician. And he went out to this lady's house, and he's for free. This guy is serving. He's signed up to part of this group. He's going to go out and serve the community, whatever that may be. So sends this guy out, and the guy checks all the breakers, and everything's fine. He can't figure out, so he goes in and then takes a light bulb out and puts a new one in. Guess what? Light goes on. The lady couldn't get to the light bulbs. 80-something years old, all the lights in her house were out because she couldn't change them. So this guy spent 15 minutes at this lady's house, and screwed in light bulbs. The lady calls the next day in tears saying, you've given me my life back and my house back. Thank you so much. Wow. Now, all of you are capable of changing a light bulb. I know that. But that's just one simple gift and talent. Yeah, but I'm an electrician. I don't want to do it extra. Like, why not? That's the gift and the skill the Lord's given you. It may be a practical skill that I'm a mechanic. And someone needs help on their car. I don't know, and you can help them. I thought, what a cool idea. That's a cool thing to reach out and be able to set that up. I don't know what that looks like for us down the road, but I thought it was a pretty cool thing of seeing gifts and talents being used to help the body of Christ. So we need to serve. Take our talents and serve. Colossians 3, 23 through 24. It says, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Romans 12, 11 says, this one sometimes busts me, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Don't come to the food bank grumpy. Like, there's times I'm driving into church, like, I got to check myself. All right, Lord, I'm here to serve you this morning because I had a lousy morning. It says enthusiastically. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. See, all the things I'm talking about today are things that you need to start doing. You need to be doers of the word. Not just sitters on a Sunday. Let's put this into action. Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let's go do good works. Cool. Everybody's excited. Hebrews 3:13. Instead, continue to encourage one another every day. As long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We need each other. I need you guys that are encouragers. I'm sure you guys need those people that are encouragers. Encourage each other. You see each other in the lobby, or you're hanging outside, or say something nice or positive to them. Like, I know you wear the angel. I know you like the angels. I'm sorry they're not good, but I still like you. Yeah, I love you. You're my buddy. The Dodgers are clearly better. Help the body of Christ. Romans 12, 4 through 5. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. In other words, we're all in this together. It doesn't matter what your position is or what your status is, or you're a pastor, or you're this role, or you're the children's this, or you're an exec this, or you're the senior this, or you run this. It doesn't matter. We're all a part of it. We're all in this together. Will you get involved? If you want, you can go out those doors on your way out, and there's a whole wall full of things where we need people to serve. I believe it's a mandate from God for you to use the gifts and talents that you've been given to go serve God and serve our church and serve the community. I believe that's a mandate from God. I believe I've read it in the scripture today that you and I are supposed to go serve. That's what we're supposed to do. God's given us a gift. We need to go take that gift and give it back to Him. While I was excited that when I was 16, my parents gave me a car and I was awesome to them for a couple hours, how much more excited am I that what God has done for me? I never, ever, ever want to make the gospel more complicated than it needs to be. God sent His Son on earth who died for my sin so that I can have eternal life. That alone, if I just said that every single Sunday, that alone should be good enough. It really should. It doesn't need to be more complicated than that. I am eternally grateful for what God has done by sending His Son here on earth to die on a cross, to raise from the dead, because we serve a living God. It doesn't need to be more complicated. I am eternally grateful. I'm standing here in front of you today because I believe that so strongly. There is no way that I take this position and stand here in front of you unless I believe with all of my heart that what God has done for me, there's nothing else that I'd rather do than to give back for what he's done for me. First Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and hath many members, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. We are all one. When are you and I going to realize we're all on the same team? If you know anything about Aaron Cadero and his dad Wayne and this book about doing church as a team that's coming in November, a conference, he's going to speak to it. You should see what they do at their churches and what people, and then the growth that they've had because people get involved. First Corinthians 12:27. All of you together are Christ's body. And each of you is a part of it. Every single one of you has a role. Some people are up here. Some people are up here. Some people are back there. Some people are assistants in the children's department, and you might not have a clue who they are. I don't know if Joe's in here, but Joe comes and he cleans up the parking lot back there. Joe gets here early on Sunday. We have the food ministry. There's boxes everywhere. And no matter what's going on, Joe comes here early to help clean that up. I don't mean to bust you, but I don't know how many of you guys like want to go pick up boxes that are full of, there's stuff all over them, and they smell, and it's whatever. And no one, does anybody want to do it? But that, I never heard that guy complain once. He's peachy. If you ever ask him how he's doing, he always says, peachy. Ask him. Joe, raise your hand. All right, there's Joe in the back there. Ask him how he's doing. I promise you, he'll say peachy. But like I got it. No problem. Clean it up. He's out there with the broom sweeping stuff up. Everybody's got to help. We need it. We need you guys. More importantly, God does. Right? This is his house that's been established, and it's up to us. It's not up to Pastor Craig to take care of it. Right? I don't know that you, one of my favorite sayings is many hands make light work. Many hands make light work. You can't ask a man who served at this place for 20 years to continue to carry that on his back by himself. He can't do it. I'm surprised he's done it as long as he's done it, to be honest. He needs us. The Lord needs us. Use your gifts. Use your talents. We're all of together in Christ's body. All of you together are Christ's body. So I want you to think for a second. What are your gifts or what are your talents? What are the things that you're good at? Again, being the teacher, I'm going to give you some homework. I want you to write down at least 5. And I want you to write down how can you use those 5 every single day. If you're an encourager, that's awesome. You just got to talk to people. Well, I'm a plumber. How am I supposed to use that? Serve with the right heart. People will see that. You go to somebody's house and you smile and you, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, I'm going to help you out. Do the best I can. You walk in with a positive attitude. And even if they are just not nice to you, you still love them. They'll see it. What are those 5? What are those 5 things? And then how are you going to use those every day? It could be a physical skill. It could be a spiritual gift. It could be a talent. How are you going to use those? If you haven't done Strength Finders, try it. It might give you some insight into who you are. It was an enlightening for me. I took another class at APU. It was called Anchors. I took a test, and that helped me focus on what's important to me. So there's another one if you want to do some extra work on your own. But I want you to come up with a list of things. And maybe you're like, I don't got five, I only got two or three things. Okay. Well, I stay at home with my kids. Cool, be a loving mom. Show your kids Christ every day. Then how can you take those talents and how can you use them here? If you walk out there and you're looking for stuff on the wall and you can't find something, some area to serve, to be a part of, come find me and I'll help you. I'm serious. If you want to be involved, if you want to, the gift and talent that you've been given, if you believe in those so strongly that they've come from Christ and it's your job to take those and to use them and to serve him as a form of worship, because that's what this all is. It's a form of worship. I am grateful for what God did on that cross. And as my act of worship, I'm going to serve him. And I'm going to use my gifts and talents, because if I focus in an area that I'm not good at, I'm probably not going to like it. If I'm an introvert, I'm probably not going to be somebody who's good at leading a small group. I could probably be a pretty good assistant. And we'll continue to hit this, I know, in November when we have this conference. So I want to encourage you to come, but I want you to think about that. The gifts and talents that you've been given, does that cause you to shift? Does that cause you to move? Does that cause you to get out of your seat and do something different? So stand with me this morning. We have prayer teams, if you guys could come up. You need prayer for anything, just come. Come hang out, ask someone to agree with you or to pray for you. Maybe you need to ask God for what to give you wisdom into what some of the gifts and talents that you have. But if we talk about true worship, it should encompass everything that we do. So let's pray. God, I thank you for the ultimate gift and sacrifice you gave in your Son, Jesus Christ. God, and I thank you for the gifts and talents you've given each one of us. God, would you help us to use those gifts and those talents for your kingdom, for your benefit? For your people, to serve others, to impact the lives of other people, for us to become selfless and to become serving vessels for you. So God, I thank you for this group of people that you've put in this room this morning, that we are all part of the same team. Help us to come together to see the greater vision, the greater good, which is to serve you and impact people for the kingdom. And bring those to know you that don't. So as we go today, Father, help us to see you in everything that we do and to serve you well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you need prayer, come up. Otherwise, have a good Sunday afternoon.